Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Full Coverage, a podcast by Beauty Addicts for Beauty Addicts. I am your host, the unprofessional beauty junkie, Lindsay Kelk. I haven't got Harriet Hadfield with me, but I do have someone else. Who do I have?
Hello, I'm Nadine.
You're Nadine! Not just Nadine, Nadine Baggett, celebrity beauty
editor. I knew you were going to say that.
Sorry.
Because sadly, Lindsay has been exposed to an old ad I did, a really annoying old ad I did about 13 years ago in a drunken evening with Emma Guns.
That's not when Lindsay was exposed to it. Lindsay was exposed to it on the telly at the time.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I massively remember.
You can never unsee that. You know that.
No, I don't.
And you do know it was deliberately designed to be disruptive, a.k.a. annoying.
Well, that's, you know, in those days, that was quite modern. No, my nan was an Olay girl. So I was always a big Olay user. Even when I was in my early 20s, I used to use Olay.
People used to shout pentapeptides in the street.
Well,
but I'm telling you, that
was real things.
That was 13 years ago. Yeah, 13 years ago.
That's amazing.
And peptides were new then. They were the hottest ingredient.
I have so many things to talk to you about. But I do have to say, I interviewed Dr. Marco Lenz from Zellens recently. Yes. And he was mad for a peptide and a pentapeptide and a hexapeptide. They have now and all kinds of things.
Oh, there's so many of them. The peptide I was talking about was like, you know, one of the first gems.
Cutting edge pentapeptide.
I tell you what happened was, Strivectin were the first people to launch it. And it came from a company called Croda, and then it came off license to Strivectin, and Olay picked it up.
So if you don't know who Nadine is, she's just clarified that she is legit. There you go. I'm like, look at you, with you not dropping knowledge left, right and centre. We're very happy to have you here. You are one of our most requested guests.
Thank you.
Easily one of our most requested guests. But for anyone who doesn't know who you are, and not just the pentapeptide lady, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I've been a health and beauty journalist for my entire adult life. So I fannied around in various different rubbishy magazines in my 20s, British Printer, Home and Freezer Digest. Oh, nice. Those were the days.
Classic.
How glamorous. Then I went to work on women's magazines in the health and beauty department. So I've been doing that for 30 years. And I was the beauty presenter on Britain's most popular daytime TV show This Morning for 15 years. And then I did the Titchmarsh show. I've done a little bit of BBC, worked at Hello, worked at Marie Claire, worked at the Daily Mail. I've been around the beauty block.
You've done all of the things. It's very impressive. And now, taking over the digital space.
Yes. So basically, 3 years ago, started a YouTube channel and finally caught up with Instagram and have now left magazines and make my living that way.
Amazing. And also great cats. I'm going to get it out of the way.
Yes. I do have two gorgeous tabby cats.
Yeah. We're in Nadine's house right now and I've only been exposed to one so far, but I am going to hunt
down
the other.
I'll take you up and see the miserable one a bit later on.
I just love them so much.
They're not quite as beautiful as Anderson.
Anderson fancies himself though. That's the problem. Anderson knows. The listeners of this podcast will be very familiar with Anderson just decides to insert himself into the new news or into the highlight of the week.
Anderson is basically the sort of cat that if he was in human form, I'd be deeply attracted to.
Yeah.
Somebody that's slightly too good for me and hard to win over.
My brother constantly refers to him as gets off on withholding.
Yes.
And he's correct. Yeah. It's like, because what he'll do when people come over.
I like that in a man and a cat.
Yeah. He'll wander by and then be like, oh, look how hot I am. You should definitely pet me. Now I'm leaving and going in the other room. And I'm like, there's a reason you came to me.
Yes.
Gone off topic already. But the cat came back. Hi. Like, the cat came back. Yogi, do you want to be on the podcast?
So,
oh, he does.
Yogi heard that Lindsay was coming over last night and he brought and when I came up this morning, came down this morning, I nearly trod in my bare feet on a dead mouse.
Yeah.
And then there was a partly decapitated goldfinch.
But what a gift. What a champion. Know. That's more gifts than I got from Jeff in the first time I met him. So I'll take that. I'll take that, Yogi. I'm just struggling to know where to go because I just want to talk about cats and everything. So you've done all the things in beauty. You've been in beauty, although your youthful good looks would belie it, a long time.
I have, yes.
You have. Tell us how beauty how the landscape has changed.
In some
talk
ways,
about that.
The main difference is that now magazines and newspapers that I grew up with are not where people get their beauty information from now, which is why I started a YouTube channel and Instagram and all those things, because I think it's mainly about blogs and it's about YouTube now and podcasts and things like that. So the way people consume beauty information and reviews and advice is different. Fundamentally, the products haven't changed that much. Mm-hmm. Although I suppose the two revolutions that have happened in the last 4 or 5 years is the sort of high science ingredient led stuff, which is courtesy of Brandon at The Ordinary, and then the sort of weird, bonkers, clean, natural, organic thing. Both two ends of a spectrum, but I still think the vast majority of beauty is sitting in the middle. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I just think there are too many products. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the right platform to say this, because are indeed a beauty addict.
Yes.
And when I find out you buy things, it breaks my heart. Honestly, hand on heart, I do remember a time when Chanel would just launch 2 makeup collections a year.
Yeah.
And it was a really big deal. And now there appears to be a new collection every 6 weeks. So there's just so much stuff. So what I try to do with my YouTube channel is sort through all of the marketing buzz and hype and just talk about things that actually work.
Yeah.
And I think people just want people to cut through the crap.
Yeah.
And the beauty bullshit and just go, look, in my experience over the years, this is what works. This has been around a while. This is proven to work.
Yeah.
This is what's worth spending your money on, and this is what's worth not spending your money on.
And that it does scare me a little bit, because like you say, we get sent stuff. We get sent a lot of stuff, and you get sent all of the stuff.
I have invited Lindsay upstairs to rummage through my cupboard afterwards.
Not a euphemism. Lindsay's very excited.
Call the Uber with a very large boot.
Like, take that, district line.
Exactly.
I'm afraid I need a car. I find that one of the most difficult things to manage, even with full coverage. When I've got Harry with me, it's fantastic, because Harry is so a working makeup artist, so she's trying out different stuff all the time on the makeup side of things, but she's not able to try out as much on the skincare, because obviously she's not really using unpredictable skincare on her clients, and you can only use so much on yourself. I love skincare, I'm obsessed with skincare, but again, there's only so much I can use on
myself.
You've
only got one face.
I've only got one face, and it's a sensitive face. Ever since I moved to LA, it's been much more sensitive because of the sun and the water out there. How do you even know where to start? Like you said, there's been big trends, there's been the single ingredient, there's the clean beauty. Where do you start? If you are someone who's walking into skincare for the first time, not knowing what to do, where do you even start?
I always say that there are ingredients that have been proven and have been around a long time. And interestingly enough, there's less new products and ingredients. There's more new products, but there's less new ingredients being developed, because we're now, obviously, for the last 20 years, not being able to test on animals, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So as a result, there are proven ingredients that just work, and you know that works, and you just base your routine around them. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows about hyaluronic acid, and everybody knows about glycerin, and everybody knows about vitamin C, and everybody knows about vitamin A, and all those sorts of things. And I think at the end of the day, a good skincare routine should be based around active ingredients proven to work. Mm-hmm. And you just buy within your budget. The more I speak to real women every day, and the difference between working on even a TV show where people would call in afterwards, but certainly on a magazine where nobody really got in touch that much. And the difference between that and working on Instagram and YouTube is people slide into your DMs and ask you all those questions. And you just know that in the real world, spending £180 on a moisturiser is quite frankly fucking ridiculous. And the average person can't afford it. And so you need to get your head out of that bubble and talk about what active ingredients work that people can afford every single day.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing that's happened in the last 5 years, is there's been this revolution in beauty where really affordable skincare has come down to the high street. And you know what? It's great and it really works.
Mm-hmm. Where do you fall on the single ingredient products? Because we've heard quite differing opinions from different experts.
I mean, my problem with companies like The Ordinary is not what they're trying to do. It's the way they're consumed, in the sense that they're upsold. So people think, oh, this is only £7 or £8. I'll just buy 18 of these and layer them up. And then their faces fall off, because they're really, really strong active ingredients at a much higher level than were previously available, unless in anything other than clinical skincare. So I think single ingredients are great. But you'll never get the sophistication of a great formulation. So you won't necessarily get a nice base that it's in.
Yep.
So if you think of something like the ordinary vitamin C, it's incredibly powerful. It stings like hell. It's a love or loathe Marmite type product. If you can put up with it, great. But there are probably more expensive, more gentle vitamin C products that you're going to comply with and use every day,
yep,
rather than just make your face sting like crazy once a week. I think what you pay for, and I'm not talking about hundreds of pounds here, but that middle ground skincare that's probably sitting between 20 and 40 or 50 pounds, you're just getting a nicer sensorial experience.
Yeah.
Same level of actives, but nicer sensorial experience and probably better packaging.
Yeah, I hate myself for how much I love the Drunk Elephant Vitamin C. Because I know how much I'm paying for the marketing and the packaging.
Well,
but
have they sorted out their problems with SkinCeuticals?
Well, that's why I bought three of them when they had a Sephora 20% off coupon, yeah, earlier in the year, and I bought three because I thought they would disappear. And I don't know if they have. For people who don't know, did they bring a lawsuit against them?
Yeah, SkinCeuticals. L'Oreal, who owns SkinCeuticals, have brought some kind of lawsuit against Drunk Elephant, and I think some of it was dismissed, but then they're then re-arguing some other small sub clause. Injunction, yeah, section, because essentially it's a dupe for
exactly the same
C for Rulic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's some sort of vitamin C solvent derivative process that, mm-hmm, has been duped.
Yeah.
You should try the Garden of Wisdom from Victoria Health, 23% vitamin C.
Yes, because we don't have that in the States, so yeah, I'm desperate to get my mitts on.
Interestingly enough,
that
Garden of Wisdom is an LA? Yes. Yeah. Actually, is it? Anyway,
I feel like
it's
it is American.
Up on that coast. It, yeah, is that. It's
it
from
San
that
Fran,
area.
Napa?
No, I have a sneaking suspicion it's Nevada. Ooh. Somewhere in Nevada. Somewhere on the Nevada-Vegas border.
Oh, then
so
I'll
it's
be
an
there
American company,
yeah,
but they do a specific range for Victoria Health, yeah, in the UK. And the 23% vitamin C with Ferulic is gorgeous. It's actually a milky serum, so it's,
ooh,
really nice to use.
My skin loves a milky serum.
Yeah.
Can get very dehydrated too in the States. When, yeah, I'm in LA, love a milky theorem. And what I don't even dare ask, I don't make eye contact with you when I ask this question. How do you feel about the clean beauty movement?
I understand why people are attracted to it. And I'm in the process of editing a video at the moment. I was saying to you before you,
ooh,
turned up,
we'll
I'm
link
in the process.
To it below.
I'm editing a video with Sam Farmer, who is a brand founder in the UK. And I love that I asked him the question so that he could then get the hate mail.
So what did Sam Farmer and not you say?
Yes. So basically it's a marketing term. There's no such thing as clean beauty because the opposite would be dirty beauty. There's no such thing. Even the term organic is not controlled in the UK. The term natural is not controlled in the UK. It's all marketing hype.
Yeah.
And in fact, the beauty industry is trying to clamp down now, and they're trying to make the term free from, mm-hmm, not go on packaging, because to say that something is free from doesn't make it a better product.
No, it just means it doesn't have that in it.
No, absolutely. And product recalls have gone through the roof. So more products are now being recalled because they're found to be infected with bacteria, yep, and all that sort of stuff. Perioral dermatitis is going through the, mm-hmm, roof, which is a mild bacterial or viral infection of the skin because products aren't being properly preserved. And I just think at the end of the day, we should trust people who are smarter than us to formulate our products. I'm science the whole way.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to make a Brexit joke, but I won't. trust people who are smarter than us. Let's not make these decisions for ourselves.
Do you know, I always say the only argument I can ever find for Brexit, ever, is that the EU have really stringent rules on how many the strength of acids you can use on your face. So we can't get Sundee Riley Good Genes,
yes,
the original lactic
They've
acid
changed
over
the formula,
here.
Or the, yeah, Drunk Elephant Baby Facial,
yes,
which burned my neck.
Yeah.
Burned
but you
me.
See, you have the face of a beautiful little blue-eyed angel. Listeners, I've got the face of like an old Gucci handbag.
Oh,
trust
on.
Me, I love a really strong acid, and I get on really well with Baby Facial, and I get on really well with the original Sundee Riley Good Genes. So when it comes to beauty Brexit, if the EU would just leave my acids alone, I'd be happy. But that's still no argument.
No, I love a good jeans. My face loves the original the lactic, good jeans. Yeah.
I always
the baby facial. I can tolerate it now, but the first time I didn't wipe it off my neck properly and it burned.
Yeah,
it did burn.
I mean, I think the thing is, glycolic is so popular because it's a really small acid and it gets really deep into your skin. I always recommend lactic over glycolic. I just think it hydrates. It's much more gentle on the skin, and yet I think it gives the same results in the long term. It's just easier to tolerate. Yeah.
I feel like overuse of acids is going to be one of those things 10 years from now that we realize we did.
The thing is, I'm old enough that I remember when glycolic first came on the market, and the reason that companies like Clinique pulled back from glycolic was because people overused them then.
Yeah. And they really
essentially end up with the famous thin, shiny skin.
Yeah.
And I just think now, again, because those products are so reasonably priced, people think they can layer them up.
Yeah.
And they can layer up, you know, there are YouTube gurus telling them that they should be layering on a glycolic and then putting a retinol on top and then putting a vitamin C on. My face would fall off if I did that, and I have really tough skin.
I've really pared back my routine. I have hormonal acne. I have really aggressively hormonal skin, and I'm on spironolactone prescription for my acne, which has been magical and has cleared it all up completely. You do have to get liver tests every 3 months to make sure your liver hasn't packed in, but that's the price of beauty.
The skin's looking fabulous.
Thank you.
Liver shot to pieces.
I know. So I was going to say I'll just lay off the wine, but also not doing that. But I am getting the blood test.
Liver
so
in rehab, face on the red carpet.
Exactly. But I was definitely doing too much, and I have massively pulled back, mainly because of your advice. So I do very much do now my vitamin C serum in a day, and then something on top of that to hydrate. And then I have been using a skin lightening, not bleaching, but a brightening serum since when I came back from my holidays, because I'd got a few freckles that I did not want to turn into sunspots. So I'll alternate with that. And then a product I really, really love, and I didn't want to because it's like $98, is the Kate Somerville Vitamin C Retinol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice.
You see, I think if you're going to use a vitamin C retinol combination, which is obviously the gold standard at night, then you need something that has been properly formulated to work together rather than layer on two separate really strong
products.
This is
it, because my face was getting very sensitive to stuff, and that my face just yums it up. And it's so moisturizing as well. I very rarely need to put anything else on top of it.
My argument is always, in the morning, cleanse with a non-foaming gel, easy to use hydrating cleanser, and then use hyaluronic acid, an antioxidant, and a hydrating serum, moisturizer, whatever you want to use. And then at night, use a cream rinse off cleanser with a cloth to get rid of all your makeup. Then use hyaluronic acid and retinol. And if you want a retinol vitamin C combination, it has to be both together.
Yeah.
And then if on top of that you need a moisturizer, use a moisturizer again. But that's it. Like those 12-step Korean skincare, I'm like, I'm sorry. I've got a Netflix series to watch and two cats to look after. I really can't be doing with that.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure.
I've got a Facebook group where people are more obsessive about skincare than I am, and I make my living talking about skincare mainly, although I do makeup and hair and everything like that as well. And I just go, you're all bonkers. Calm down.
Yeah. I mean, I love that people love it, but I do worry about people doing harm to their skin because they think they're helping it.
I think the thing is, it's the argument, isn't it, that something is good for you, therefore the more you use it, the better it must be. And there comes a point where that's actually not true.
Yeah.
I just think that it's not going to do you. When I find people, they do those videos where they go, this is what I pack to go on holiday. And I go, really? Like, you're on holiday. It's really not going to hurt you if you just pare it back to two or three steps morning and night. It's really not.
Yeah.
I think I change my serum routine, because I mainly use serums, morning and night, depending on how my skin feels. But by the same token, it will always have the same active ingredients in.
Yeah.
The one thing that you and I always disagree on is that I don't like oils and I don't like essential oils.
I know.
You're a real sucker for those.
I never used to use oils at all. When I was in England, my skin was really oily. When I was in New York, it was pretty combination. But now I'm out in LA, it's so dehydrated because it's so dry. And I don't use them all the time, but if it's really dry, it's the only thing that will lock everything in, that I wake up in the morning and I don't feel like a piece of toast. Because it's bone dry. When I get back, because I've been here for a month, I'll have a month of just having my face falling off, because it will just be so, so dry.
I'd still suggest you use like loads of glycerin and urea and natural moisturising factors rather than an oil.
I'll try because you know better than I do. Because I make it up as I go along.
Get yourself a big tub of CeraVe and just sleep it in on. That. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is rough. It is. I hate having dry skin. I hate it. I
always feel with oil. And I do know what you mean, because when I've been on holiday to Vegas or LA or you're abroad or something and you get that instant relief from oil. But then I feel that you just, it basically most of the time just sits on the surface of your skin. Then you cleanse it off and you get no real hydration.
Yeah. Well, so because I put the serums underneath it and use it to sort of lock it in, and I don't rub it in. I'll just sort of lightly press. I'll
so you almost use it like an occlusive on the top. Yeah.
Yeah. And then wash it off in the morning and everything else hopefully has gone in, and I don't put it straight on top of my actives. I let that settle for like a second and then pop it on, and I can't use it all the time because it does block out my skin.
Yeah.
Fun, isn't it? And yet there's a new oil coming out every day.
Well, I just think they feel nice in the same way that people are addicted to lip balms. People like that feeling,
and you get
used to that sensorial feeling. But I feel in the long term, it's probably just sitting on the surface of your skin, and it's really not actually hydrating your
skin. Plus, they look really sexy.
Yeah,
for some reason, oils look really sexy. Yeah.
Although that said, have you seen the new Neutrogena spray that you can spray on your legs? Oh, so it's part of the new Norwegian formula, but it's in a body spray, so you can just spray that sheen onto your legs. It's good stuff.
Oh, that's fun, because the first generation of those body oil sprays and moisturizing sprays were not good in my experience. Had them here, but there was a Vaseline one in the States that just did nothing.
But again, you see, I would never put an oil on my face or my skin or my legs or anything.
It was not great.
But I do get that sexy sheen on the leg thing.
Are you a Fenty Beauty body lava
girl? Don't be ridiculous. Of course I'm not. I'm a grown-up. I'm old enough to be Rihanna's mother.
I tried really hard, but I couldn't keep a straight face.
No, I mean, I think Rihanna's amazing. I love what she's done. And I love that a really smart, sassy woman has stood up and just said, I'm going to own the women of colour sphere. Mm-hmm. Good on you. Even though MAC were doing as many shades for years and just never spoke about it because they sat back on their laurels. But no, I mean, you know, I love her music, but I would never buy her makeup. It's not aimed at me anyway.
Yeah, it's a difficult...
I am literally old enough to be Rihanna's mother.
I mean, I'm trying to think how old she is, and technically where I'm from, I think I am too.
So. Yeah.
I'm not sure. If I'd had her about 14, which is not beyond the realms of possibility in the village. Oh, good for Rihanna. I hope she's well.
Oh my God, have you seen the latest picture she's just put out of her in that sort of see-through leopard print stuff? I mean...
I have. She looks incredible.
If I was a guy, I so would.
I think that interview is by Sarah Paulson, who so I also love.
Yeah.
So they both look incredible. I saw Sarah Paulson once buying Tom Ford makeup at the Grove. Bit loosely connected to this podcast, but I was so excited.
I wonder if she buys Charlotte Tilbury now.
Oh yeah, I wonder.
You know, Charlotte obviously was the creative consultant on Tom Ford.
Yeah,
My Face as well.
Yes.
And if you look at Archive My Face, you'll see that same.
That's when I met
Quad
Charlotte. Yeah, we've talked about this, I think, before on the podcast.
They were
that's
great
how
products.
I met her. I wonder if you were at that launch. There was a My Face launch event, and it was in like a barn stable-y type.
Yeah, that's
building.
Her. That was her old space in Northwest London.
Yeah, I went at that.
And you went upstairs,
and they gave us a little iPod, and I was like, I've made it.
Yes.
Oh, we were in the same room.
They were
long
amazing
ago.
Products.
I love those iPods.
I heard there's a rumor, because obviously what happened was it was originally distributed through Boots, and Charlotte had created it, which is where she then got the inspiration to create her own brand and to work on Tom Ford and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody tells me that when they were taken off the market, they're sitting in a warehouse somewhere in America, on the west coast of America. There are hundreds of products sitting somewhere.
Oh, that's going to be our spin-off podcast where you and I just drive around.
I mean, I would break into that. If that stuff, that seal isn't broken, that stuff is amazing.
Those glittery, sparkly, shimmery quads were insane.
They're exactly the same as Tom Ford. Yeah. I didn't mean that. They're very similar to the Tom Ford Charlotte Tilbury ones. But essentially, Charlotte had created, and there was an amazing foundation as well, which was just like Light Wonder.
Yeah.
Basically, it was Charlotte creating a range for Boots, which is our equivalent high street store. I mean, what more would you want?
She really scared me. That was one of my first experiences of being terrified by a person. Yeah, and she was screaming at me that I had to dye my hair. My hair was my natural sort of mousy blonde. And she's like, what is this? What is this? And just kept flapping it and insisted that I go and dye it brown immediately because of my blue eyes and how dare I walk around with this colour hair. And I was just sat there shaking. And the girl that did her PR also did Lee Stafford's hair, PR. and I was booked in a week later because they were like, Charlotte says,
you have no say in the matter.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, no, and
I went
and did it.
What Charlotte says, Charlotte goes.
I went and did it.
I remember when I first started my YouTube channel, Charlotte's always been very supportive of me, and I've always been very supportive of her because I used to be on Hello and covered the Clooney wedding and all that sort of stuff. Mm. Anyway, she's fabulous. She's got perfect clientele for Hello. And so we did a video together, and it was when she brought out her eye crayons and she decided to do a smoky eye on me in black, like shimmer. It looked amazing on camera. Yeah. I looked like a streetwalker in real life. But the funny thing was she kept kind of touching my face, but from a distance, like a really long, like as far as her arm could go. And I was like, what's going on, Charlotte? She went, I can't see a fucking thing, darling, without my glasses, but I never film with them on.
I've
so everything is double checked on a monitor because she won't film in her glasses.
That's amazing. And she also says she puts on fresh makeup to sleep in as well, right?
I'm never sure. I think that might be slightly apocryphal.
Yeah. I love it, but yeah.
Who cares, yeah.
It feels a bit Elizabeth Taylor.
She's very Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah. I feel like she should be in with the sort of Jackie Collins, Elizabeth Taylor, and that's it.
I feel like she should live in the south of France in a sort of very tight, poochy trouser suit at all times. Yeah,
with a cocktail in one hand, a cigarette in the other.
She belongs to that era.
Yeah.
And that's why we love her.
That is why we love her. I want to know, and I know our listeners want to know, let's start on skincare because that's what we talked about the most. What are your favourite products now and all time? Is there anything that's gone that you wish would come back?
Oh, God, no. There's always something new coming along that's new and improved and wonderful. If I was to choose a range, it would be a mix of good high street. So I love a high street cleanser. Mm-hmm. So I love CeraVe Hydrating Gel Cleanser, which is a non-foaming gel cleanser, which is essentially a bit like a high street equivalent of fresh soy cleanser, which I also really love.
Yeah.
I love a cream non-foaming rinse off cleanser for night to take your makeup off. So I love something like Boots Your Good Skin Nourishing Hot Cloth. I love a nourishing hot cloth cleanser. Yeah. That's essentially Liz Earle's Cleanse and Polish, but without any of the fragrance in it. And I love a microfiber cloth. I'm desperately trying to find an eco-friendly microfiber cloth, and I've set up a whole discussion on my Facebook group because bamboo I thought was eco-friendly, and now it's not so eco-friendly.
Oh,
it's not soft anyway. It's not as soft. Get that from Primark, pack of three.
I went to get
Amazon.
Some when I first arrived.
You'll never find them.
And
that woman, Nadine, has told everybody.
Yeah,
I know.
And I was at the Oxford. I went to the Marble Arch one, and they bloody didn't have any. And
you can go
fault.
On Amazon and just look for face microfiber cloths.
I've got loads at
them.
Home. I just didn't bring any because I thought I would buy them at Primark. And I'm an idiot. Okay. I'm an idiot.
And then hyaluronic acid. And I think, again, don't spend a lot of money on hyaluronic acid. Don't spend a lot of money on your cleansers. They just end up down the sink. So I love Hadolabo, which is Japan's number one skincare range.
And it's here now as well, right?
Yeah, on Amazon. They're the king. And it's going to the States as well because it's gone the English language way. So they are the kings, queens of hyaluronic acid. It's sitting at around £16 and they do one with retinol in the evening, although the retinol's at a low dose. And then I spend my money on my antioxidants. I do love a bit of SkinCeuticals Sea Ferulic.
Nice.
Bit of Drunk Elephant, obviously. Bit of Environ, a bit of Epionce, any of those kind of vitamin C, kind of vitamin E serums I quite like. But then hydration, save money on hydration. Love Indeed, love CeraVe, all that stuff, because that's purely hydrating. And then in the evening, I like to spend my money on my retinol. And I do love a nice expensive retinol, I must admit. So I love a bit of Neostrata. I love a bit of Environ. I will, if I can get hold of it, use prescription Tret,
yes,
0.025, 0.05. I've never gone to 0.1.
I've got one, although I've pulled back. I was on one when I had acne. They put me on 0.1.
Yeah, one is technically only prescribed for acne, but I always get mine when I go to somewhere like Mexico or Thailand and like land in
buckets of it.
Yeah, land somewhere abroad. Go to your little local pharmacist and then go, do you sell Retin-A? And they nearly always do. And then what I would do is I would mix that 50-50 with a bit of like something really boring, like a CeraVe hydrating cleanser, moisturiser, and just apply that for like 4 or 5 months of the year. Because don't forget, I live in London. I mean, it's June. We're sitting here. It's just stopped raining.
I've
put
the
heating on. It's freezing. It's damp. That's why I'm not obsessive about SPFs. Unlike a lot of influencers, I'm not obsessed about SPFs. But the truth is, I actually spend most of my time inside in a really damp, miserable city. So I love my IT Cosmetics SPF 50, which is a physical SPF. I do really like the Drunk Elephant Umbra. It's really nice. Yeah. That's an SPF 30, which is a physical block as well. So yeah, I spend my money on vitamin C and vitamin A, and then the cleansers and the hydrators. I love Indeed Labs Hydration Booster, which is a really lovely glycerin serum. But I would never spend money on hydration or cleansing.
Yeah.
And hyaluronic acid you used to have to spend loads of money on, but you don't anymore.
Yeah, totally democratized now.
If I'm going to spend loads of money, you know where I'm going to spend money? Fragrance. Ooh. Oh my God, I'm such a fragrance snob.
I love fragrance.
I love, absolutely love fragrance. Interestingly enough, 9 days out of 10, I don't wear it. But when I do wear it, I absolutely love it. So I love a bit of Le Labo. I love a bit of Frederic Malle. I love Portrait of a Lady.
Yeah.
I love Another 13. I love La Santal. I love the Comme des Garçons fragrances, all the smoky fragrances.
Yes.
I love Molecule, all the molecules. I think they're really lovely. I like quite disruptive, quite weird fragrances.
Mm-hmm. I like really masculine fragrances.
Yes, me too.
I either go, I will wear a men's aftershave. Like I love
Le Bleu
by Chanel.
Yeah.
Le Bleu by Chanel. I love that.
Bleu. As they pronounce
Bleu.
It. Bleu.
Bleu.
Terre de Maize is the...
Yes. Absolutely gorgeous.
Gobsmackingly good.
Or I go completely the other way and wear very... I've got really acidic skin. So I really struggle with fragrances to not smell like cat wee. there's so many I can't. Like,
so tell me a completely feminine fragrance that you wear.
So I've worn for years Coco Mademoiselle.
Oh my God, don't get stuck in a lift with you.
No, I know, but...
that's a bit of a root
rocker. It doesn't smell the same on me as it does on other people, which is weird because I'll tell people, people will ask me what I'm wearing and I'll tell them and they'll say it's not. And I will have to get it out of the bag and say it is though. But it's because my skin's very acidic. If I put number 5 on, it smells like I've rolled around in a litter box. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but I think Chanel number 5 smells like cat litter anyway.
Or at least an old lady.
And I love
cat litter.
But
my best friend wears it and she smells incredible in it.
Whose cat's weed on her lap.
It smells so sexy on my friend and then I'll borrow it and I smell disgusting.
I still don't think it smells sexy.
Body chemistry, man. It's rough. Yeah. But my...
Portrait of a Lady is sexy. You know when you walk past somebody in the street and you want to dry hump them?
Yeah.
I love that smell. I absolutely love that
I always
smell.
Used to love the original Agent Provocateur for that because it smells a bit dirty.
All related.
Yeah.
They're all in a similar... And there used to be a fragrance by Yardley called Chic and they're all of a similar fragrance family. Ugh. And they've all that slightly sort of Studio 54 sweaty, heady smell.
Yeah.
Which, even though I might not necessarily wear, I really love it on other people.
Yeah.
I also really love citrusy fragrances. I love a citrus fragrance and I love a kind of, I mean, I suppose Jo Malone masters them perfectly, but I love that kind of slightly grapefruity. I would never wear them, but I love them on other people.
I have one of the Jo Malones that the Blossom Girl collection they did last year that was very, very light and florally and citrusy, but it was never cloying. And there was one, I can't remember which one it was. It was the orange bottle. I can't remember what it was called, but it smelled exactly like the perfume I had when I was a teenager. Do you remember, I'm sure you will, when they brought out, they first started bringing out teenage fragrances and it was the Lulu Blue and it was Fleur d'Inter was the Givenchy one and it was all the first time they were really marketing the
Givenchy
high-end.
3 was my first ever fragrance.
Mine was just Eau de Givenchy. I bought it from Duty Free when
which
I
explains
had some
why
left.
We like slightly citrusy masculine fragrances.
Because that
cool
was
woods,
so lovely. But I had the Givenchy Fleur d'Inter D. I wanted the Lulu Blue but it smelled disgusting on me. I had the Givenchy. Yeah, it was Fleur d'Inter D. It's the Forbidden Flowers. And they interviewed it. They advertised it in Just 17 every week.
Have you smelled
and
the
I
new
wanted
Inter D?
It so badly. I haven't, but
I
it's
haven't.
Not the same. Because I haven't smelled it in person. I've smelled it in a magazine fold, but they don't really count, do they? I need to go and get it on my skin. But someone told me it's not the same. But I bought a bottle of the original one off eBay a couple of years ago when I had I must have the
Does
bottle.
Does it smell good?
It smells disgusting on the skin because I sprayed it on me and it smelled rancid. But in the bottle, it smells exactly the same.
Okay.
And the Jo Malone Blossom Girl from last year was almost exactly the same. And I was having
that was an
a
iconic fragrance growing
sensory
up.
Breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So incredible. But
so
now,
that's where I like to
child.
Spend my money. And it's like I would never wear any of the main Chanel or Dior fragrances that they sell, that they market, but their Le Exclusive collection
yes,
and
wear
the design,
Chanel Boy
they are
mine.
So beige is beautiful. They are just exquisite fragrances. That's when the perfumers basically aren't being told by marketing that they've got to create a sweet slightly cloying, like easily marketable scent. They're just allowed to go away and create something inspired by the wooden screens in Coco's house. So you've got Coromandel and stuff like that. But they are truly beautiful fragrances.
Well, that's artistry. I think that's genuinely artistry. I was wearing Boy when we interviewed Katie Jane Hughes a couple of weeks ago, and she gave me a hug before she said, "What do you smell like that's talcum powder but fit?" And I was like, "Oh, it's Chanel Boy."
Exactly.
And I'm going to get some at the airport.
They've got one of... I don't know... You've talked about liking citrus and liking slightly sort of masculine scents, but I quite like quite leather animalic scents as well.
Yes, me too.
And the Cour Roussi, which was the smell of Coco's... I mean, obviously it wasn't, because it's the reinterpretation of the smell of Coco's Russian leather... Russian lovers' leather boots... So it's leather, Russian leather.
That story. Yeah. Even the story behind
it's very fragrances. Slightly 50 Shades of Grey. No, it's like kind of the crack of the whip. It's just fabulous.
I love those.
And I love some
stories.
Of the Tom Ford ones for that reason. I just think that they're really clever.
I never got on with the Portofino Neroli fragrances. It was always a bit much for me.
Because that's one of their best sellers.
I know, and it just doesn't smell right on me, but I love all of their masculine leathery fragrances. I did get a whiff of the new lavender, and I actually really like that.
Yes.
I was surprised. And I like lavender, but straight up on the skin, I don't like it. But
I think
that,
it's a beautiful
it's nice.
Interpretation, and the flacon's gorgeous.
Yes, the bottle's gorgeous. Yeah. And I like... Did you like Fucking Fabulous? I actually quite like it.
I didn't mind it. Yeah, I quite liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I just think Tom... Interestingly enough, I don't think Tom is an originator, but I think he's very clever at... archiving previous things, even in his fashion. I think he was the same, so he reinterpreted that whole kind of Studio 54 thing, and I think he's just basically an arbiter of good taste. He was a dick when I met him.
Really? That's depressing.
Yeah,
I saw him at a panel for his film when he had the Nocturnal Animals film, and he was great, but he also wanted us all to like his film. So
yeah, I think he's much more passionate about his films now.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was great.
I would dig out anything he's ever created in archive from when he was at Gucci and wear it in a heartbeat. I mean, I absolutely love all that Halston kind of inspired stuff. And I love the fragrances and I love the makeup, and it's all product porn. But I just feel that sometimes, I think, bearing in mind I worked for Hello for years, he wouldn't even be deemed to be quoted in Hello.
Oh, Tom. Are you a
that
candle?
That said, I do think he's incredibly sexy.
Oh, he's fit as.
Yeah, he's fit
yeah,
as.
He's massively fit.
Fit as.
He's a bit full Donny.
Still would.
Fit as.
And I also just love his style. I love the jeans and the velvet jacket. I mean, I just think, that's what I mean. To me, he's the arbiter of good taste.
Yeah.
But I think he kind of knows it.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Yeah.
He would be my cat. He would be Anderson Cooper if he was a cat.
See, that says, we've come full circle again. I want to win him over, even though I'm not his type or even his gender.
Maybe the reason
he was a dick to me was because I was basically running there going, Tom, love me. And he was like, nope.
Oh, one day you'll get him. Are you a candle person?
No, because I've got two cats with very fluffy tails. Although there is a Tom Ford one down there. I tell you what I am. I'm a Fleur de Bois diptyque room fragrance person.
Nice.
And I spray it into my lampshades.
That's a good idea.
Probably my all-time favourite smell is diptyque Fleur de Bois.
Except my diptyque is 34 Rue de Saint-Germain. Yeah. Everyone's got one,
she says. This is just becoming a very specific niche podcast.
But
I also love the Fleur de Bois, which is basically the smell of wood fires.
Yeah.
And I even love it in summer, and I think it's crazy. But I just think, for me, if they made that into a fragrance, I'd be quite happy to wear that as a fragrance, which is a weird thing to want to smell of. And that's what I mean about being weird about my fragrance. My fragrance taste is so Marmite-y, and I'm quite a snob. But that's to say, J.Lo Glow is an amazing fragrance, and SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker's stash, is phenomenally good.
Yeah, I think SJP did really, really, really good perfumes. Yeah. All of them are wearable, but stash is gorgeous.
Stash is phenomenal, and I think it's completely bombed because it's so unusual. Covert was incredible as well when she launched Covert. We were saying earlier on, Lindsay and I were both saying that I created a beauty blog yonks ago. I think it was probably 2006 and you created yours in 2007
January 2007,
way ahead of the game. And I remember covering the Covet launch and just thinking this was incredible. But just thinking, I kind of think if somebody creates a mass market fragrance and I like it, I automatically think it's going to bomb.
Yeah.
Because I think I can interpret skincare and tell you what to buy in skincare to suit everybody. But fragrance is so personal. And for me, I quite like really left field fragrances. Yeah.
I think it's always fun to go and smell those things that you don't know about, though. That's always, I think fragrances, like you say, it's so personal, but it's such a joy.
What's your idea of if you were to get stuck in a lift with somebody, like what would you literally think? Oh my God, I can't get it out.
Yeah, Angel.
Oh my God, yes!
Cherry Mugler Angel.
So my story is, I remember going to Paris, because I've been on so many lab tours, going to Paris and having the guided tour of Clarins, who actually own Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine what the Clarins factory smells like. It smells bloody amazing. Because
like
even though I don't like fragrance skincare, I mean, could you imagine like those bath products and everything? It just smells gorgeous.
Clarins smells gorgeous.
Absolutely beautiful. It smelled incredible. We were running around and normally, you know, you're kind of thinking, oh God, I just want this to end. This is how it's ending. And on the very last moment, we'd seen packaging and we'd seen formulation and everything. We'd been to the labs and we'd seen the whole thing. And then they went, right, would you like to go into the inner sanctum? And it was behind glass. And there was literally like this. In America, they're almost like grain stores. You don't really see them in the UK. You know when you're driving through middle America and you see a grain store? And it's like a
big grain silo.
Yeah. And I saw this silo and it was pale blue.
More.
And it was behind these. It was behind these closed doors. And they went, would you like to come into the inner sanctum? And as we turn around the corner and the doors open, it sort of went, and it's there tiny, went whoosh, like that. You think, oh my God. And it was this huge silo with Angel written on it. And
this is how I'm gonna die.
A third of the people walked through and were like, this is incredible. I've died and gone to heaven.
Mm.
A third sort of wavered in the entrance, and I was like an extra out of Chernobyl.
Yeah.
I was like, I could not get away quick enough. And I think I had a headache for 3 days afterwards.
One of my roommates at uni used to wear it, and we were on the third floor and you would come in on the ground floor and I could smell it if she'd sprayed it. Because I hated it so much.
And to this day, I still cannot bear to be in the room with a gourmand fragrance. So a fragrance that automatically makes your mouth water. So if it has, I don't even like vanilla.
I can't bear vanilla.
Chocolate,
can't bear
vanilla. It
reminds me of impulse
stomach.
Vanilla kisses.
Yes.
And it makes me want to be sick.
Yeah. And my idea of hell is to get in the back of a cab and to see one of those little sort of hangy uppy fir trees and it to be anything chocolate, cinnamon, vanilla, spice.
It's I don't like foodie scents.
No.
Which
is interesting because I love food.
Me too. Keen.
I mean, I could literally drown in a tub of ice cream. I just don't want to smell like it.
Oh, no, it's the worst. I used to wear Angel Innocent, which was the lightened version, which they discontinued because they discontinue everything.
Do you know what I did like? Interestingly enough, I loved Angel, so it was Terry Mugler Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Which had a note of sperm in it.
Yeah, I also enjoyed that.
Because Thierry,
so that's good to know.
Obviously, is bonkers. I don't know if you follow him on Instagram.
His clothes are next level. It's insane.
The most incredible designer of all time. Again, if I could wear one designer forever, it would probably be vintage Thierry Mugler. Absolutely incredible. He's a little bit bonkers now. I don't know if you've seen him. So he's completely shredded and ripped.
Oh my God,
and
this
he's
is
always posing in tiny little pouches.
Yes.
And he's got to be like over 60.
He's got to be.
He's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's incredible.
Be.
But I kind of love that creative genius. Anyway,
they kept in it his aftershave.
Quiet, but he did have a note of sperm in his
Amen, because it was like the A star men, was it? It was stylized. I remember it, because I used to wear the Innocent, and I did one time I got a sample from the from Bloomingdale's, and because I'd run out, and they gave me Amen by accident, and I wore it and I loved it.
And I
really
think Alien
it.
Smells interesting as well. I don't
Alien
dislike it.
Alien doesn't smell good on me, but I don't
again,
hate
it. Again, I wouldn't
it,
wear it, but
Angel,
I like what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
But you see, in a way, Angel falls into the same category as Amen or Alien. At least he's doing something different. I mean, I love that he creates things that are like Marmite. So
and
you either love them or you hate them.
20 years on, I can walk into a room and I know exactly what it is and I know who's wearing it. That's actually an incredible achievement, it or loathe it.
And nowadays you create something and it's given 3 months to be a success and then it disappears.
And it's gone.
And Angel was a slow burner that became a cult for a really good reason. It's a beautifully crafted fragrance.
Yeah.
It's just that it gives me like... that
makes
proper
me
full-on
shiver.
Headache.
That and on boys it's Jupe. It's jupe, yeah. Which you still get a whiff of from time to time, usually on an Uber driver.
There's no male equivalent for me.
In fairness, it's because of my 17-year-old boyfriend, but I cannot bear it.
Do you know it's pronounced yope, don't you?
Yeah, I don't care, because I know from the 90s it was jupe. It's like when my aunt used to wear an A&A. I'm like, it's an ace. Yes. I'm like, well, in the 80s, I'll think you'll find it was an A&A. like Cacharelle. How dare you tell me how to describe your own perfume.
Exactly what that bottle looked like.
Yeah, the white, it was supposed to look enamelly. It was plastic with flowers on.
Yeah,
I can smell that. I can still smell that. Yeah. I did an interview, our last episode was with a fragrance expert from a company called Primrose, and she talked me through the science of scent, and it is fascinating.
Oh, it's so clever.
What she told me that I'd not known, and everyone already knows this because they already listened, but I'm going to tell you again, you guys, because it was fascinating, is scent is the only memory you can't disconnect. So you can sort of stop yourself or disconnect your memories and your triggers through therapy or through mind control, but you can't with scent. So if you smell something and it triggers a memory, you cannot stop it.
It's like
it
a just cat happens. Burglar in your brain.
Yeah,
and the limbic system, which is sits behind the back of the nose, is essentially the outside part of your brain.
Yeah.
So it's directly connected to the back of your nose.
That's what she was explaining. Yeah. And I'm like, it makes so much sense.
It's like a cat burglar. It can sneak in whenever you want.
And you have no control over it. Any other memory, you can sort of disconnect and learn to control it, but scent, you can't.
I have a memory from being in a really sleazy little nightclub in St Moritz, and everybody was dancing and we were on a press trip, and this very handsome Italian man came and started dancing next to me and obviously trying to make a move on me, and I was like, I've got to go. My one regret, people would go to me, was he really handsome, do you wish he had? I went, no, I wish I'd asked him what fragrance he was wearing, because he smelt like heaven, and to this day it's still the fragrance that reminded me, and it was just the most incredible fragrance.
I do like a fragrance. Jeff won't wear fragrance. I like a fragrance on a man.
I think it depends
if they're
which
wearing
one you
it
choose.
And it's not wearing them.
Yeah.
I think it's really sexy to sort of get close to a man and get a whiff of it and be like, oh,
yes.
No one else knows you're wearing that.
I only really hang around with gay guys, so I can quite happily dry hump a gay guy. I would never do that to a straight man. It would be inappropriate. But I regularly smell somebody that smells fabulous and just go, come back here.
Yeah.
And I do it to women as well,
what
actually.
Is that?
I will regularly dry hump women if they smell amazing. And I just pull them back in and then bury my nose in their neck in a really inappropriate way.
So if you meet Nadine and she tries to dry hump your leg, don't worry about it.
If you meet Nadine and you want her to come nowhere near you, just wear angel. You'll be
just douse yourself an angel. And you'll see me and Nadine across the room crying, holding cats and sobbing. Oh, God.
One of the reasons I love my cats is because when they come in, they smell amazing.
Yeah. You know, Anderson smells amazing. It's weird, isn't
it? But your cats don't go outside, so my cats come in. In London, I know this is weird for you listeners if you're in America, but our animals are allowed outside because we don't have predators. But basically, my cats come in and they smell of, like, damp grass and earth and moss. And I love that smell.
Yeah. Anderson just smells amazing. That's why I've got to marry Jeff, because we'll routinely just pick him up and bury our face in the cat.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why does he even smell good? And then you say that to non-cat people and they're like, what's wrong with
but
you?
But it's weird, isn't
but
it?
Because dogs
don't smell
amazing.
Like that. Dogs
no, the
smell
bad.
Grows.
Bell doesn't really smell of anything, but Anderson smells amazing.
And do you think that's... Well, but he's been done. So why
does
he smell weird?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's also sort of half... He's not... long-haired, but he's very, very plush, furry, so maybe it's that. And she's just short hair.
Smell good. I couldn't live with anything that didn't smell good.
No, exactly.
My boyfriend smells really good,
smell
and he
rank.
Doesn't wear aftershave at all, but his skin just smells
good. Jeff smells
and
good.
I remember speaking to a really famous gentleman called George Dodds, who was the guy that back in the day was trying to create a human pheromone. And he said to me, he was a bit like a sort of slightly weird version of that book, that Patrick Susskind book, Perfume. He was going around taking imprints of everybody's skin and sort of trying to find out what the pheromones were.
Yeah.
And I told him a story about, and we've talked before about my dysfunctional relationship with my boyfriend because he's a miserable bugger and he won't be listening to this, so I can say that. But I swear to this day, after all these years, even when I'm really annoyed with him, if I just smell his neck, I kind of go a little bit weak at the knees. And he doesn't wear, he uses unfragranced products, so that's just the smell of him.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a little bit like me being angry with my cat this morning because there's a dead goldfinch and a dead mouse, and then I pick him up and he looks at me and I go, okay, I forgive
Maybe
you.
Maybe he wants to see the goldfinch. Maybe he's seen the trailer for the film and he's excited about it.
It was not pretty, listeners. It was not pretty.
No, I won't post it on our Instagram.
No. I warned Lindsay when I sent it today. I said, the cats know you're coming over. Trigger warning. They've brought you some gifts. And then I sent two pictures and I had to put trigger warning on because I'd previously shared it with some friends and they went, I hate mice. I won't be able to sleep tonight now.
I was delighted that they thought so highly of me.
I was strangely proud of him, I must admit.
Yeah. No, when my mum was poorly, our cat used to bring he would try and wrestle my stepdad to get things up the stairs to her bedroom because Lucy would be like, this will make her feel better. Yes. Allow me to take this in. And it's like, it won't make her feel better.
It really won't.
No.
Yeah. And there's nothing worse than coming down in the morning half asleep. Not that I get up that early, but, and then just treading on it and just going, I felt a squelch. What the hell was that?
I don't feel good. I mean, you're tough as nails though, cat owners. Tough as nails.
You have to be, don't you?
Yeah. I feel like I should ask you more beauty questions before people just switch off the cat cast.
We didn't talk about makeup. What makeup do you love?
That's what I was going to ask you next. What you love. I am trying really hard to pare back because I am terrible at just...
You are such a bloody addict.
Yes, I am. And openly will admit it. Yes. When I came away, I've been away for 4 weeks all
in
all.
It's why you're so good at podcasting though, because you are genuinely passionate about it.
I love it. Like I legitimately
will talk about it all day.
Where
I've seen Beyond the Velvet Rope and I'm like, whatever.
I've seen it and I want more. I'm like Violet Beauregard. I'm like, I want it now. It'll turn me
purple. You've got the rubber band on your arm and you're already flicking for the vein, aren't you?
I want it anyway. I've been really good on this tour. I only brought one makeup case and just a medium sized bag.
She said caseless.
No, well, because it's not really a bag. It's like a zippy Perspex, just clear bag, but not big one. And then a small bag just with loads of lipsticks in that I threw at the last minute panicking. But all I brought was, I brought two foundations, a couple of concealers, which I've barely used because actually my skin's been really good. I've been lucky.
Bearing in mind, you've been on a book tour. Your skin looks amazing.
I've been diligent with it because I should look like an ass by now.
You look like an actual bottom.
I got up yesterday and I was grey. So today was a lot of rest. But yeah, I really, really pair back like one cream blusher, one powder blusher, and then just three Tom Ford eye quads and like sort of a brown eyeliner and a black one.
Just three.
Well, last year I brought like seven eye palettes.
That's 12 eye colours.
Yeah, but normally I would bring like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 really big palettes, whereas I just
brought the quads. But this is very interesting because I look at you and I feel you have a signature makeup and your makeup always looks the same.
It has this, that's because I brought the same stuff. But I will buy at no end of makeup and end up wearing the exact same shades out of it.
I'm sure the most annoying thing for all of my followers is when they say to me, I really love that new eyeshadow. What is it? And I just started using one recently and it's MAC Moth Brown.
And
when I went to MAC, they went, oh, that was discontinued 2 years ago. Yeah. But it's been sitting in my cupboard and I knew I loved it and I refused to use it till I hit pan on the previous one. People hate me.
Like they had that as part of the Barbie collection about 12-13 years ago.
Such
I think they included
shade.
It in the Barbie
Such
collection
it's
a really
and ironically
neutral...
it's a shimmery grey greyish colour.
It's not actually warm at all. There's no warm in it and it's gorgeous
and I love a tight line and for me the best one is the Marc Jacobs one, but Marc Jacobs don't send me a lot and I refuse to buy makeup.
Mine was and now I hate it because I don't agree with her politics and I try not to touch
Kat
her brand
Von
D. the Kat Von anti-vaxxer.
I know
it's the cake liner is incredible,
but they are amazing. I did one of my Instagram TV come shopping with me where I take people around high street stores the other day and I said you know, despite her politics, she does some amazing products.
No judgment if people want to buy her stuff. I met her and interviewed her.
She was lovely.
I have not met her because she's cancelled on me on 3 different occasions for 3 different things.
Well,
so
I did meet her when she just launched into the UK and she was obviously desperate for 3 pages in Hello magazine. I'm sure she wouldn't speak to
three
me now.
Different occasions I've been supposed to meet her for 3 different things. None of them were the podcast. The last one was the podcast at last year's Indie Beauty Expo and she's cancelled every single time.
I know a lot of people that don't like her. All I can say is that I met her and she was absolutely lovely, very funny, very intelligent, seemed very politically sound. And then shortly after that, the whole Jeffree Star thing blew up. Ish. And then the whole anti-vaxxers thing. Of course, she is like full-on bonkers, natural, anti-toxins, weirdness.
Yeah, looks that way.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But tightlining, good to know.
But she is, but that is a good tightliner.
It's really, really good.
And it doesn't transfer on your bottom.
And that's all I've worn on this tour. Yeah. It's pretty much New Dip and those two mixed together. And then Lash Paradise L'Oreal on the top and Glossier Lash Lick on the bottom.
See, I love L'Oreal Ultimate, you know, the one with the bendy wand that Val Garland created. That's a great product. Again, you see, love this. Just as I say, never spend money on cleansers, never spend money on hydrators, never spend money on a mascara.
No.
Absolutely love a budget mascara. I love Max Factor Masterpiece Max, which I don't think you can get in the States, or it's called something different. I love L'Oreal Paradise, L'Oreal Unlimited. Yeah. Love a cheap mascara.
There's lots of expensive ones I love. Like the Marc Jacobs one I think is incredible. I've always enjoyed their Real, but I just don't think they're better. No. They're just different.
The only remotely expensive one I really love is, I love Benefit Bad Gal Bang. And the reason
I
love
it,
I don't
get on with that at all.
Well, the reason I love it is because it gives you a va-va-voom, what I call stripper lashes in a single coat. And if you're going out afterwards, it's one of those rare mascaras you can go back in 4 or 5 hours later and it doesn't feel like you're...
I just couldn't get it off. It didn't matter what I used.
You see, that's my definition, you see.
And then...
That's what I mean by stripper gal.
Lashes. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it was really, really gluey.
Microfiber cloth and a good rinse cream cleanser should get it off.
Give it another try because I do love their Real. Bad Gal eye pencil was one of my first ever premium beauty purchases. Was obsessed
the Boyne concealer is really lovely. Although, if you're in the UK, the Number 7, they've got a brand new sponge. It's basically a dupe for Charlotte Tilbury Magic Away concealer. They've got a sponge under eye concealer that's absolutely bonkersly brilliant.
Oh, amazing.
Without a doubt, the best thing I've used to come from Number 7 for ages.
I've always loved the Maybelline Erase Rewind. That under eye concealer is excellent as well.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So what else are you using? What else are you obsessed with on makeup-wise?
I love Charlotte Tilbury when it comes to... So I do like Light Wonder if I'm looking for a lighter finish foundation. Mm-hmm. But if I'm filming, I always wear a Cosmetics CC cream. Mm-hmm. Love it. Blended with that brush. Got SPF 50 in it as well, which I really like. And it does give you a heavier or slightly Instagram coverage, but when you're filming, it's perfect. And if you're doing TV, it's perfect. And then I set it with Makeup Forever HD Ultra Loose Translucent Powder right up under my eyes, even though I'm in my mid-50s and it doesn't settle into my lines and I do have wrinkly eyes. And then I like Beauty Pie One Powder Wonder, which is the press version.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's really nice. And then new Juju Cleanser is really lovely. Ooh. It's quite heavily fragranced, but it's really nice. Okay. And the SPF 25 is phenomenal. I've got a video going up rating facial SPFs, both every day and for holidays, because I don't think they should be different, from the lightest to the heaviest. And that was basically the lightest budget product I could find. Great packaging. Really nice. Really lovely. People always ask me if Beauty Pie is worth it. And my argument is, yes, but just share the membership with all your friends. Sorry, Beauty Pie.
Yeah.
But really, that's what you need to do. You just need to get together with two or three friends. Yeah. One of you buys a membership and then you use it all.
But you rate the products.
I think they're really clever. I think they're pretty good dupes.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. They're coming from the same factories.
Yeah, exactly.
They really are. But also, I think even the stuff she's gone on to develop that hasn't been a dupe, I think they've done a really good job.
Yeah. I haven't used enough of it to know. It's hoping to change that.
Can you get it in the States? You can't get it in Canada. I know
that.
You can
get it in the States, but it's been really hard to come by.
Yeah.
Go out of stock.
They have
stuff
stock
really
issues.
Easily.
That's the problem, which is why, in a way, if you're going to get it, because obviously, you know, the membership is not that much money, but you've got to guarantee that you're going to spend 120 quid a year on makeup or skincare, which technically doesn't sound much, but when the average unit cost is between £5 and £10, it's actually quite a lot to use.
Yeah.
So if you can just share it with a best friend or a family member, I think it's a great thing to do.
Also, I found one thing that I could, with those sort of club things, you can be buying Christmas presents throughout the year, I find is a good
budgeting
option.
And the lipsticks
option.
Are incredible.
Yeah, because you buy a lipstick for someone, you buy a candle
for like
someone.
Charlotte Tilbury. Yeah. I haven't seen the fragrances and I haven't seen the candles.
Candles I have, and the candles I really liked.
Yeah.
But I think
they're
that's,
very random
if you don't know
to
what to get
they send
and you want
me.
To spend the money,
yeah,
get a candle, save it for someone for a birthday or Christmas or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Beauty Pie. I think Marcy is very clever, and I think what she's trying to do is quite disruptive, and I quite like beauty disruptors.
Mm.
It's like why I like the Inkey List founders, and why I would, you know, despite him going off the rails why I got on really well with Brandon. I like people that think outside the box. I think it's very clever.
Do you consider yourself a beauty disruptor?
No, I don't consider myself a beauty. I mean, sorry. I consider myself, I tell you why I consider myself a beauty disruptor, because I'm not afraid to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And I don't let brands bully me, and I won't fall for marketing speak. So I'm all about beauty without the bullshit, no Facetune, no filters, all that sort of stuff. And if that's made me a disruptor, then yeah, so be it. But I didn't set out to be that. I'm just like that. I'm essentially like that in real life. Like I said to you earlier on, if you're going to ask for my opinion, I should warn you that you're really going to get it. Like I'm not sugarcoating any of this.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit like Marmite.
Like, but I don't like Marmite and I like you.
You don't like Marmite?
I don't. I just can't
have
get
you tried
on with
Marmite
it.
With peanut butter?
No.
Oh, I might have to force feed you after a couple of margaritas
I
later.
Don't want it, Nadine. I don't want it. That's going to be the end of me. And then Lindsay was never heard of again. We under a patio
choked
in West London.
To death. Yeah. In West London.
The cat's pawing at the patio. Like, she's under here. All very Brookside. We're gonna wrap
I love your cultural references. Nobody in America is gonna know what Brookside is.
It is best that we end.
Let's end on a high note.
I'm gonna ask you, and I'm not gonna make you sing, but I am gonna ask you for your highlight of the week. What if you had to pick, and I totally sprung this on you, that's really mean, sorry, but if you just had to pick a product that you've been especially loving this week, doesn't have to be new.
Oh God, have you seen anything? The new limited edition NARS Mini palette?
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Yes.
I have a very big weak spot for NARS palettes. I just think they're absolutely amazing. And even though I'm generally not a palette fan, there's something about a NARS palette that sort of just speaks to me at a guttural, slightly pornographic level.
And it's dinky. Is it the miniature wanted? Yeah. Is it, I think, yeah.
The big want is lovely.
The big want
is
lovely.
The funny thing about palettes is sometimes I open them and I just kind of, they're so nice, I never want to use them.
Yeah.
I just keep looking at them.
See, this is my
problem. And then I give them
to
friends as gifts.
Yeah, I have a drawer full of palettes and then I just use Nude Dip. But I love owning a palette. And same with nail colours. Like, I don't ever really paint my own nails, but I love buying nail polishes because I just want the colours.
The Louboutin nail polishes.
Oh, God.
I've got one and I've never opened it up, but it's like a piece of art that I just
so
leave
beautiful.
On the side. Yeah.
So beautiful.
For me, my idea of one of the highlights of my week, which was actually last week, was did you see Nick Chapman organise her beauty drawer? So she bought everything from IKEA,
porn.
And then inside she brought all the clear dividers,
porn.
And then she just kept opening them up. So she had a drawer of lips, and a drawer of palettes, and a drawer of brushes. And I was like, it's a bit like when Christine Grey goes, "Here's the key. The helicopter's upstairs, ready to take you away whenever you want. This is my games room." It was like Nick Chapman opening a drawer
full of lipsticks
into a wall. Yes, so it was like, oh heaven, tie me up nice. Now, Nick. I'm yours.
I love it. I'm trying to think. Well, I've made you choose one and I haven't
thought
through
your,
mine.
What's been your... You probably haven't seen that much. You've got a whole host of posts waiting for you when you get back, haven't
you? I know,
you?
I'm quite excited. Jeff's not pleased, but I'm quite excited. The thing I've actually used a lot on this trip that I forgot I put it in my bag is... weirdly, NARS. The NARS Afterglow Lip Balm. The Orgasm After Lip Balm, which I... got last year when it first came out with that Orgasm collection. I think it's back out now.
It
they've
is,
got
yeah.
a couple of different shades.
They've reissued it.
But I've got the original, the rose goldy packaged Orgasm one.
That packaging's
I've
gorgeous.
Been wearing it the whole tour because I've been a big Dior lip glow person, which I know is a real, again, another Marmite. People love it or they hate it. But I've been really, really pale. My skin's super pale at the moment, probably because there's been no sun on it for 4 weeks.
Lindsay, are you ever super tan?
No, but I'm extra pale. To the point
you're
where
essentially
the lip glow,
a Disney princess. You really are.
But the lip glow just was come reading too pink when I was in the UK. It could be the light too, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, the light is so great. It takes this colour out of everything.
Yeah, it was reading really, really pink and it just looked a bit lurid. So I pulled that out of my bag and I've been wearing that at every event and I am obsessed.
My one bit of NARS advice always is that Orgasm is a cult product. And I actually think it's really hard to wear.
I can't wear it at
but
all.
But they do a version called Bumpy Ride.
Yes.
And Bumpy Ride, Andrew Gallimore described to me as NARS's younger sister. But actually, I just think it's more peachy, less orangey, and it's less shimmery. And if you wear that and then top it off with a bit of Free Soul over the top, which is like a highlighting powder, you'll never get as many compliments. And I think it suits absolutely everyone.
I got Bumpy Ride in the advent calendar last year, which was the main reason I bought the advent calendar, was because I saw him putting it on you on your YouTube channel.
Well, except that they gave that video to me and they put a weird filter on it to try and make me look good, and they should have just unfiltered it. But trust me, it works so well in real life. And actually, I remember the first time I ever interviewed him about it, he used it on somebody like Lupita Nyong'o. So if it works on you,
it works on me,
and it works on Lupita Nyong'o, that means it works on everybody. Yeah. Such a great product.
Gorgeous. Yeah, I've never got on with Orgasm.
No, it's much better than
love
Orgasm.
Love a bumpy ride. Hate an orgasm, love a bumpy ride. That says about everything, doesn't it? That's summed this up quite nicely.
That summed up this conversation perfectly.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Nadine Baggett, Celebrity Beauty Editor.
My pleasure.
We could not be more grateful. I really hope we'll do a round two at some point. We should get guns in.
Can I come to LA and do it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Fabulous. Well,
rude not to now. I need to return the favour on the cats.
I'm very upset you're getting married. I think now you're an American citizen, you could just swing the other way and marry me, and then I can bring the cats over.
Give it a shot. Jeff might be open to it.
We'll live in one big sister wife house together.
He'll love that. Yeah, she would hate it. One is too many wives for him already. So let's see if we actually make it down the aisle. And thank you so much to our wonderful Facebook friends on the Facebook group. You've been begging for Nadine, begging for her. And there she was. So, thank you so much for being in the Facebook group. If you're not already, you can come and find us at facebook.com/fullcoveragepodcast and then join our beauty banter group from there. And of course, thank you to our patrons from Le Patreon, or as it's also known, Patreon or Patreon, however you want to say it. .com. It's Patreon. So who can say? Nadine? No, no opinion. But anyway, thank you so much if you have pledged money towards us every month to keep the podcast going. That's incredible. You have blown our minds. Your first Patreon exclusive episode is already out there. So if you haven't subscribed yet and you're thinking about it, there's a whole episode of Full Coverage just waiting for you if you go to patreon.com and sign up. So that's nice, isn't it? And we're recording another one very, very soon. But thank you very much, and I shall see you very soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.